Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Michael Remus, in sort of a weird night here at MTS Center, a rare Monday night home game, the only game on the NHL calendar, the gold medal game between Team Russia and Team Canada taking place at the same time. Congratulations to Team Canada on their hard-fought victory. And this was, as I said, a bit of a weird game here, Remo, that looked, you know, like it was heading to overtime. Both teams satisfied to at least get a point and then play for the bonus point. And the Winnipeg Jets managed to lose a key face-off draw in their own zone with seconds to play. And the San Jose Sharks, you can't give them too many opportunities. And that was one too many. And they end up Mark-Edward Vlasic beating Michael Hutchinson. And we'll talk about the goal in more detail, but the Sharks end up winning 3-2 in regulation when, for all accounts, it seemed like it was heading right to overtime.
Yeah, it certainly was a pretty weird night here at MTS Center. As you said, Monday game, only game on the schedule. A lot of eyes here on this game and the arena, as well as the Team Canada game. And it seemed like a fitting end to a pretty odd night. You know, the 5 seconds left, you think just need to win the draw. We'll break down the goal a bit later, but the Jets, I don't think they played their best game, and they'll tell you that they didn't. And you look at the difference in shots on goal and the number of penalties the Jets took. You know, they gave the opposition 7 power plays. It wasn't their best night, but it didn't end the way that they wanted to, but they had a chance. They could have made it, gone to overtime, get the extra point, but they didn't even get that and left with nothing.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, the Sharks were the better of the two teams tonight, and by a decent margin, I would say. I mean, the Jets, both of their goals coming on the power play, right. And really the five on five play during today's game, I thought, was dominated for the most part by the Sharks. A Sharks team, of course, you know, without Joe Thornton, but we know that the Jets are without pretty much everybody that's ever played defense for the Winnipeg organization. So the Sharks were the better of the two teams, but the Jets had an opportunity to sort of, quote-unquote, steal at least one point, and it all went for naught very quickly there at the end of the game. Let's start by breaking down the goals. The Sharks opened the scoring. That happened at the 2:53 mark of the first period. Brent Burns gets his 11th from Patrick Marleau and Logan Couture. This is sort of a similar goal to what we'll see happen in the last goal of the game, in that the Sharks cleanly win the faceoff. This comes on a power play, though. Clean faceoff win for the Sharks. They move the puck around to Brent Burns, who's at the point, and he absolutely blast the puck past Michael Hutchinson. Brent Burns with a great shot, as we all know. You know, sort of a quasi-defenseman, quasi-forward, back to playing D for the Sharks team. And he just wired this pass from from Marleau, crossed the blue line to Brent Burns for the one-timer, and it's 1-0 Sharks early on.
Yeah, right off the bat, the Jets show you why they're one of the most penalized teams in the NHL. Matthew Perreault gets a double minor high-sticking because he drew blood. I'm in a 14, and so the Jets are in a place where they've been, you know, for a majority, but a quarter of every game this season. You know, Patrick Marleau, very quick pass after getting the face-off to Brent Burns. He's Brent Burns, he's got a bomb, one of the best slappers in the league, and a tough one when you make Hutchinson go side to side. He's going to have that much difficulty in tracking the puck, and it was a nice goal. And you know, the Jets didn't get much help later on when Brian Little took a penalty. Took another penalty with about 2 minutes left in that one, so they were at a 5-on-3 right off the bat.
That's right. Brian Little takes another penalty. We talked about the Jets getting into penalty trouble. Brian Little takes a slashing penalty while the Jets are still shorthanded, and the Sharks are going to have a lengthy 5-on-3 power play really early on in the game, within the first 5 minutes of the game, so the Jets immediately can't sort of get their feet under them before they're already on their heels. They do a very nice job killing off the final, the 5-on-3 power play opportunity the Sharks had. And in fact, the penalty kill, aside from that first goal early in the game, the penalty kill was terrific the rest of the game, but like you said, again, too many penalties taken by the Jets, a lot of them quote-unquote undisciplined or maybe not completely necessary. One or two of them may have been a questionable call by the officiating crew tonight, but the Jets don't get burned on the power play as it happens, but again, something for Paul Maurice to probably have some concern with.
Yeah, they don't get, and Paul Maurice was irate at that Andrew Ladd one, where he got called for a legal check to the head in the third period.
It was a bad call.
But I mean, when you're shorthanded this much, I mean, you look at the shorthanded ice time, Adam Partey led the team. I mean, Adam Partey, this guy was the sixth or seventh defenseman, maybe even eighth to start the season, leading the team in shorthanded ice time, 826. Dustin Byfuglien, who normally doesn't play much shorthanded, has to now because they're so short on guys on the back end, and he's playing 7 minutes shorthanded. So that's going to wear you down.
Sure.
You're expending more energy when you're shorthanded, and you know it's tough to come back in the 5-on-5 when you're playing. You know how many penalty misses? I mean, 7 power play opportunities, and one of those was a 4 minute. So 12 minutes of the game shorthanded for the Winnipeg Jets.
Absolutely. Andrew Ladd ties the game for the Jets at the 9:17 mark of the first period. It's a power play goal for the Jets captain. Assist to Brian Little and Blake Wheeler. There's sort of a, not a scrum, but the Sharks are pressing the Jets up at the defensive blue line, the Jets offensive blue line. They get the puck through there. It gets to Brian Little. He finds Andrew Ladd as the trailer, sets him up sort of right in the prime scoring zone, and Ladd with the one-timer blasts it by Antti Niemi, and the Jets tie it up at one goal apiece.
Yeah, the Jets power play was great, and it's been great you know, for the last month and a half or so, and you know they scored 2 out of 3 tonight. This was the first one. You know, a great pass from Brian Little, pretty much on a tee for Andrew Ladd. And you don't see too many slapshot one-timer goals like that for the Jets. But that was the first of two tonight, and blasted past Niemi, who I mean didn't really have much of a chance on that one. The goals tonight were all I thought very, very quality goals. I mean, Hutchinson was great. Niemi was good when he had to be.
Yeah, I don't really have any quibble with any of the goals. The one that you're going to criticize Michael Hutchinson for is comes at the 4:15 mark of the second period. It's Carlson for the San Jose Sharks. Melker Carlson, player I'll admittedly not that familiar with.
I saw it with Richard in Anaheim a few weeks ago when we saw the same San Jose Sharks, and Melker Carlson scored his first goal of the year in that game, ripping a slap shot that went through Freddie Anderson, pretty much in the same spot the puck went through Michael Hutchinson today, squeaker through the pads. Admittedly, this time it's a
tip. Yeah, what happens is Joe Pavelski takes a wrist shot. Melker Carlson's really flying by in front of Michael Hutchinson, gets his stick on it, tips it through Hutchinson's five hole. Maybe you want him to save that one. I mean, I think you can. It's probably arguable. I'm sure if it was Pavlikin that the fans would be screaming for his head, but that's a separate issue for another day and time.
Well,
anyways, and that makes it 2-1 for the Sharks at the 4:15 mark of the second period.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a tough
Brett
one.
Burns gets the assist there, too, so he's got a 2-point night already.
Tough one to give up, but I think any time the puck's tips, it's that much more difficult to check. I mean, the way it went in,
yeah,
it's a bit of a squeaker, kind of disappointing. Maybe you'd like to see
But Hutchinson was very good for the rest of the game. I think he made a lot of big saves for the Jets.
What, he led in with 35 saves on 37 shots? I mean, he was in tough tonight. He made a number of good saves. I mean, you can't really fault him on the last one, and we'll get to that one shortly.
Yeah, exactly right. Jets are able, so after 40 minutes, it's a 2-1 lead for the San Jose Sharks. The Jets, on the power play again, are able to capitalize. It comes on to Jay Harrison, his second of the year, assist to Adam Lowry and Michael Frolik. Obviously, you wouldn't expect Jay Harrison and power play time to necessarily go together, but it does. I don't know if Coach Paul Maurice is playing a hunch, or really ultimately might just not have any, very many other options at this point. Harrison gets it's a slap shot from the point, and it really just it beats Antti Niemi. Probably wants that one back, I would think. Didn't seem like there was a ton of traffic in front of him at that point in time. Probably not the greatest goal the Antti Niemi's ever been scored on with. And it's 2-2 at that point in time at the 4:03 mark of the third period.
Yeah, we forgot to mention a bit of a scare at the end of the second period when Brendan Dillon took Michael Frolik into the boards.
Good point.
He had to leave the game. We weren't really sure what the injury was. We didn't get much of a report. It looked like an upper body, maybe his head, or he was grabbing his shoulder when he left. But Frolik showed that he was fine, no worse for wear.
I was surprised when Frolik got hit and he left the ice,
it looked bad.
It looked like he would have been at least gone for the rest of the game, but he was on the ice. He was on the bench to start the third period, and he was on the ice, getting the assist, his 12th of the year, on the Jay Harrison tying goal at that point in time.
You know, when anyone gets hurt on this team right now, I think you got to fear the worst because it seems, I don't want to say they're cursed, but it seems like just about anyone could go down at any time.
That's right. Jets take two more penalties late in the third period. They're able to kill both of them off. It's the Andrew Ladd gets an illegal check to the head penalty.
Have we seen that penalty this year in a Jets game? I don't believe that we have.
I'm not sure the Jets game we've had. We've seen it in other NHL games. It was a pretty weak call. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure who the Sharks player was, but he was sort of down on one knee.
Yeah.
And I would call that incidental contact more than a deliberate targeting of the head.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Jets seem to get dinged for these. I mean, there's a
few... Well, but you know what? When you're the most penalized team in the league, the refs know that, and they're probably looking for things to some extent.
There's a few plays where there's one Matthew Perreault tried to chip the puck in. You could argue he got interfered with him. You could argue a number of things, but it seems this little ticky-tack call, I don't know if it's because the helmet fell off. Maybe did that draw a little attention?
I just don't like... I don't love that it's the back official making that call as opposed to the official closest to the play. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously the ref deemed it to be a penalty. No blood on the penalty. As I said, the Jets' penalty kill was actually quite good today.
Great. 1-for-7.
Yeah,
I mean,
you'll take that.
You'll take that any day of the week. But when you're, as we said before, when you're killing that many penalties, it takes its toll. And, you know, they didn't help themselves much in the last 10 minutes of the third.
Right. Postma takes another penalty, and the Jets are able to kill that one off. That's for a delay of game, a puck over glass. So
I can't really argue with
that. No, I mean, it's a BS penalty sort of to begin with, but, you know, the call was correct. By all accounts, Jets killed off that penalty, so there's less than 3 minutes to go. And I think most people in this building were sort of figuring this is going to head to overtime. A lot of people were distracted at that point in time as Team Canada was winning gold almost at the same point in time. So there were a lot of cheering for Team Canada going on.
It was something that I've never really seen here, especially in the press box. I mean, you look down the row and everyone's eyes, not on the play on the ice, but on the TV.
One on each,
watching the last minute of the Canada game. I think it was with about 2 minutes or so left in this game. The crowd had a large standing ovation. They showed the highlight of everyone. I mean, of Canada jumping around celebrating the gold medal. It was the loudest ovation of the night, I think.
Yeah.
You could tell it was a Monday at MTS, and it didn't have the emotion of Saturday's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's for sure. And, you know, 2 minutes left, you think the Jets are going to hang on it and get the point, and you'd be kind of lucky. They didn't play great, but they played...
They capitalized on their power play opportunities because 5-on-5, they were not good really at all. But what happens is there's a face-off draw to the left of Michael Hutchinson with, you know, 8 seconds to go in the game, give or take. Most people figure it's a scramble draw and you're going to do whatever it takes to get the puck out. Joe Pavelski cleanly beats Brian Little on the faceoff. I mean, just absolutely cleanly beats him. Logan Couture comes in to pick up the loose puck. And here's where the problem begins. Rather than going out to the point man and taking away Mark-Edward Vlasic, Blake Wheeler, Vlasic is Wheeler's guy, rather than going after Vlasic, Wheeler goes after Couture. Couture has enough time to make a calm pass to Vlasic, who's now cheating off of the blue line coming down because he's almost one-on-one against Hutchinson, given everybody's, you know, the play is still on the right face-off dot and the puck is now on the left-hand side. He comes in and he's able to beat Michael Hutchinson with a good shot. No real chance for Michael Hutchinson there. I mean, can't fault the goaltender. And, you know, this place is stunned. With 4.5 seconds to go in the game, the Sharks have managed to take the lead for the third time tonight. They've had 3 one-goal leads, and this is obviously with 4.5 seconds to go. The Jets weren't able to do anything to try and tie the game up. But Blake Wheeler was unhappy after the game, slamming his stick against the boards, as he should be. He knows very well that, really, that poor decision by him, rather than taking the guy going after the puck when really Logan Couture wasn't much of a threat in that situation. There were other guys around who would take it. Going after Couture instead of going out to the point and covering Vlasic, you know, you don't want to say that specific play or that one decision cost the Jets the game, but certainly that's the TSN turning point tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you could point out to a number of plays that cost them. That were the reasons why they didn't win the game. I mean, obviously, you're going to look at that play, and you mentioned it just right, Blake Wheeler. You know, off the faceoff, going right to Couture.
Yeah.
And Couture is a very good player. Pavelski's a very good player.
Vlasic's a very good player.
Vlasic, they're all those guys.
Pick your poison. He picked the wrong poison.
All those guys are Olympians, and certainly tough play, tough one to lose on. But I think you got to look back at this game. Was the penalties really continue to hurt the Jets every game here, and especially with these injuries? I mean, it's difficult for any team to overcome. I mean, we mentioned on the Roan Roundtable earlier today to Curtis Burns, like, "Hey, Curtis, what do you think of what happened to the Sharks if you lost your top four defensemen?" He's like, "Whoa, I don't even. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
The Sharks' top four defensemen pretty good in in Vlasic and Burns and Brendan Dillon, who came over from Dallas earlier this season. Anyways, the Jets end up losing 3-2. It'll be interesting to see how this affects the team as they head out on their road trip to Arizona, to Phoenix on Thursday night, and then L.A. Anaheim Saturday Sunday. I sort of can make it akin to the loss to Philadelphia on that Sunday night, in that the Jets sort of had the game. It wasn't as damaging a loss because at least they earned the point against Philadelphia. But the game was well within their hands. They end up giving up the lead and losing in overtime. And then they go to Chicago 2 days later, right before the Christmas break, and dominate the Blackhawks. Now, the Jets would probably figure they're going to beat the Phoenix Coyotes anyways, or the Arizona Coyotes anyways on Thursday. It'll be interesting to see if maybe they now go on this road trip, this three-game road trip, with a bit of a chip on their shoulder and are able to steal back a couple points that they lost to the Northern California San Jose Sharks earlier tonight.
Yeah, very tough road trip in L.A. and Anaheim, some of the best teams in the Western Conference right there. Arizona, not so much, but no game is ever.
It's never a sure thing, but if you expect to beat Arizona on Thursday, and then if you can get a game against L.A. or Anaheim, this loss isn't so damaging. But if this is the beginning of a tailspin or something,
yes.
If maybe the injuries are catching up and, you would hope you can not be bothered by the injuries against the Phoenix Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes. But the Ducks and the Kings are a different story. But, good news, though, that it does seem like Zach Bogosian might be on this road trip upcoming.
Yeah, and good news that they have a few days off here, because you look at the ice time, Dustin Byfuglien,
29 minutes.
We wondered if he was going to hit 30, not quite. His season high, I think, is just under 30 minutes, 29:58 or so. Julien Brouillette playing his first game of the year for the Winnipeg Jets, only 9:33. So you can see that they're kind of hampered here by the lack of depth on defense. Adam Party, 19.
They really went to they went to five defensemen, really, not giving Brouillette a ton of ice time. Which, no surprise, really.
Yeah.
But, you look at Anthony Peluso's ice time also, 3:53. Chris Thorburn plays 5:13 as well. Jim Slater gets more ice time, obviously, given his penalty-killing responsibilities and whatnot, because he played 5 minutes on strictly on the penalty kill. So he's able to get a little bit more ice time. But a tough game for the Jets, 5-on-5. And it was thanks to the power play that they still had an opportunity. But ultimately, too little, too late, losing 3-2 tonight to the San Jose Sharks in a very bitter defeat for your Winnipeg Jets. We remind you, Wednesday evening, NHL midweek on TSN 1290. We'll get you set for Thursday night's Jets-Coyotes game. Saturday, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on TSN 1290. Note the start time, 3 p.m., given that it's a 9 p.m. puck drop in Los Angeles. Stay tuned. There is audio from both the Jets dressing room and the Sharks dressing room, courtesy of Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk of Legal Curve. For Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.